And you know, I mean, you say, well, that's Michael's testimony, it's not my testimony. Well, as a father, as a mother, when you see God moving in your kid's behalf, you know, it's our testimony too. Do you have anything you want to share, Kathy? Okay. Pastor's not here, he's still not feeling well. Got the call yesterday, you know, he probably waits to the last minute to find out if he's going to, you know, feel better. When you're a worker like he is, you don't even want to admit to yourself that you're just not ready. Yeah, he needs to recharge. He had a long trip. He came right back and got back into the swing of things and preached a great message yesterday, but he's just still a little bit under the weather. So we're just going to pray that he gets the rest that he needs. And for God to just breathe afresh on his body and on his spirit to just revive him to be ready to come back at some point. So, amen. So, this morning, I want to talk about something that we all struggle with to some degree. I want to talk about something that the Bible talks a lot about. I want to talk about the elephant in the room. This is the way the Holy Spirit put it to me. He says, talk about the elephant in the room. Now, elephant in the room meaning is a major problem or controversial issue that is obviously present, but avoided as a subject for discussion because it is more comfortable to do so. So I think the Holy Spirit kind of nailed it with talk about the elephant in the room. This topic is the bane or menace of our existence, and at the same time it makes us human, it makes us how we were created, and it enables us to relate to our God and to each other. And without this particular element, God would not have created us. Can anybody guess what I want to talk about this morning? Say that again?
Free will.
Free will. All right, free soup for you after service today. Yes, it's free will. I want to talk about free will this morning. We're only going to touch a little bit. This is a huge topic, but we'll just do some broad strokes. This kind of a message can be viewed similar to messages on tithing or exercising faith. It's not the most popular thing to talk about, but it is kind of a refresher and a reminder that, hey, you know what? We have free will. It's the way that we were created. And, you know, in the Christian circle, free will kind of gets a bad rap right off the bat. And the reason that is because the will is still controlled mostly by the soul part of us. You remember some weeks back we talked about the soul, the spirit, the body. Well, the will is still controlled more by the soul than it is by the spirit, but we can change that. You know, the word will is used in the Bible 3,000 times, depending on what version you read. And 3,000 times. Now, it doesn't always say the will of God. Sometimes it says, I will. But you know, when you hear somebody say, I will, you should hear, I will to do so. Right? They're giving their will over to whatever task that they're volunteering for. So the word will 3,000 times. And, you know, there's no real main scripture for this morning, but I think if I had to pick one, it would be Hebrews 10:24. And Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. So if you want to know the heart behind the message this morning, it's really about stirring each other up to love and to good deeds. And it's going to take giving of our wills to do that. Right? Love is not love unless you have the will to give it. And good deeds are not good deeds if they're programmed into you to do those things. At work we have, it's a tough spot down in Webster, Mass. It's a tough spot to get people to come to work. We consistently have high absenteeism and high turnover. And so what's happening at work is we're escalating the implementation of robots into the factory. onto the factory floor, because a robot, you know, just comes, it doesn't even have to come into work. It's there every day. It doesn't argue. You don't have to pay it benefits. You know, you don't worry about if it's got good sleep the night before. Is it going to perform well today? Is it going to come in with an attitude, you know, and be the bad apple? You don't have to worry about any of that with robots. But the problem is you don't ever see robots congregate together and share what they did over the weekend and, you know, reach out to help each other unless it's in their programming. So there is a benefit to robots, but see, we're not robots. God doesn't look at us like robots, and he would never create us like robots. That's why without the free will, he would not have created us. Free will is a critical component of our relationship with God and how we serve God. So the first question, why free will? So the definition of free will is the power of acting without the constraint of necessity or fate, the ability to act at one's own discretion, the power of control over one's own actions or emotions. What is the greatest commandment? To love one another like he loved us. And if we're programmed to do that, it's not called love, it's just called logic, a series of zeros and ones and whatever new technology they have out there today. We were created in their image. And we don't talk so much about the free will of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you think that they definitely have will, right? Because we read in the Bible multiple times, my will. Do you think they have free will, though? I would say if it's will, it's free will. If it's not free will, it's called something else. So let's look at just a little bit. Let's look at free will as not being just a human experience, but being part of our creation in the image of our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." He is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The issue with that is we're just so disconnected that we can't get aligned with the will of the Father. But he is at work in us. Do you have the Holy Spirit in you? Then you have the will of God in you. And so what's the problem? You have the will of God in you, so why are we not walking in the will of God? And I'm not saying we're completely not walking in the will of God. Listen, you know what? By the fact that you're here today, you know, part of that is just, you know, being in the will of God. You're in the house that he has called you to be in. That's part of the will of God, right? But I'm a charts guy. If you looked at charts, if you looked at a chart that trended every day, you know, minutes of the day, there's 1,440 minutes of the day. We're probably awake for about 950 to 1,000 of those minutes. If you plotted the trend, how many of those minutes are spent doing your own thing and how many of those minutes are spent doing his will? What would it look like? And it doesn't even matter what the starting point is. You can start at zero. But is it increasing? Are we increasing in doing the will of him who created us? It's a question we need to ask once in a while. How are we doing? It's that heart check that we hear about. Holy Spirit, show me where I'm falling short. Show me where I missed the fork in the road and went the wrong way. Show me what the will of God is. Remind me what the will of God is for me. And the Holy Spirit will do that, will always do that, to keep you on the right path. Free will can be applied to stop the will of God, but it can also be applied to fulfill the will of God. And so maybe we can start to think a little bit differently about the will. In the Christian circles, instead of getting a bad rap, why don't we start to see it as a good thing? That we have the free will that allows us to be in a love relationship with our Heavenly Father. Without it, it couldn't happen. So does God have free will? God the Father? So just a few scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God. Romans 9:22 says, "What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction?" Patience. When God exercises his patience, it's part of his free will. He's not a taskmaster. He's not the law guy. You know, we make mistakes. He knows that we're fallible, and he makes provision for that. He is patient with us. All those things that it says love is, he is towards us. And it's his will to do so. It's his will to be that way. Patience in and of itself is the control of self-will. And we know that he exercises much patience when it comes to his beloved. Are you his beloved this morning? Yes, you are. Hebrews 2:4, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles, by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Hebrews 10:36 says, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." So how many scriptures talk about the will of God? If, you know, when I did a search for will, it starts right at the beginning, right from Genesis, and runs all the way through Revelation. The will of God is the Word of God. Now that's the Father. Do you think Jesus has free will? Yeah? Yes. John 14:10. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding me does his works." He has his own initiative. He has his own will. But when you see between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they have aligned their wills to the will of the Father. And we're called to do the same thing. We're called to align our will with the will of the Father. And he makes it possible for us. He's given us everything we need to do it. Now, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Okay, just doesn't seem to be enough to make it happen, right? So what's supposed to happen? What else do we need to add to that? Well, we should be people in the Word. We should be people in prayer. Having the Holy Spirit in us, that's when you put the Word in, the Holy Spirit has something to work with. When you feed the Spirit of God that dwells in you and not the flesh, you will begin to operate more in the will of God. Has anybody ever experienced when you set the time aside and you said, this season, whether it be January, February, or whatnot, I'm going to get into the Word every single day, and what you started to feel happening inside of you is it wasn't such a chore to do the will of God. You start to make those little decisions that align with the will of the Father. Anybody ever notice that? Being in the Word really is something that has to be something that just goes without saying. But we're not there yet. We need to be there. We need to be in the Word. It needs to be a regular part of what we do every day. So the will of God is throughout the Bible. It's not hard for us to see what the will of God is. He's not hiding it from us. John 5:30 says, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." We're not being asked to do anything that isn't already being done by the three parts of the Godhead. I mean, no, God is not going to ask us to do something that he hasn't already modeled for us and is continuing to model for us. What about the Holy Spirit? Do you think the Holy Spirit has free will? 1 Corinthians 12, 7-11 says, "The Holy Spirit is given to each of us in a special way. That is for the good of all. To some people the Spirit gives a message of wisdom. To others the same Spirit gives a message of knowledge. To others the same Spirit gives faith. To others that one Spirit gives gifts of healing. To others he gives the power to do miracles. To others he gives the ability to prophesy. To others he gives the ability to tell the spirits apart. To others, he gives the ability to speak in different kinds of languages that they had not known before. And to still others, he gives the ability to explain what was said in those languages. All the gifts are produced by one and the same Spirit. He gives gifts to each person just as he decides or just as he wills. And then John 16:13 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." So you can see that even the Bible tells us that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they have their own will, but they're not acting on their own initiative. Their initiative is completely aligned with the will of the Father. Can you agree that the idea is for us to also have our wills completely aligned with the will of the Father? You know, God has given up more of his will than we even realize for us. He chose to do that. God's will is given to us through his covenant, through his promises. When we are being asked, when we are not being asked to do anything that is not already done, we said that already, we are not the only ones being asked to put a little skin in the game. God has bound his free will with every promise he makes. In fact, he binds the will of Jesus and Holy Spirit as well because they're completely aligned. Father sent his Son. It was his decision. Can you imagine a father sending his son to suffer that kind of pain? And it wasn't just a physical pain. Think about the mental pain, the mental anguish. He was fully God and fully man at the same time. And when he was praying in the garden, you know, I got a different revelation about Jesus' prayer in the garden. I always struggled with it a little bit. You know, when he said, "If this cup can pass from me," but there's a word in between, and it's "nevertheless" or "yet," depending on what version you read. And so what he's really saying is, not "if this cup can pass from me." What he's saying is, even if you would be willing to let this cup pass from me, I would still will to go and die on the cross. Doesn't that sound more like the Jesus we know? Even if, Father, even if you would be willing to remove this cup from me, I would still do it. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit distributes the gifts as he sees fit, but in complete agreement with the will of the Father and the Son. Why? Again, because love cannot be mandated. It cannot be dictated. And when we say spur each other on to love and good deeds, we're really talking about the will. When we love him, it's our choice. There's no other kind of love. God framed his will with the new covenant. So let me ask you a question. Do you think we'll ever see the earth flooded again? Well, what if he decided he wanted to flood the earth? Today you would think it would be a good call to flood the earth like he did. But he will he do it again? Is it possible that he'll do it again? Why not? Because he said he wouldn't. And with every promise and with every aspect of the covenant that he made with us, he kind of binds his will that he... Certain things that, you know, should be available to an almighty God, he's saying, "I'm not going to do that again." And he won't. Will God decide not to forgive your sins when they are confessed with a right heart? Can he say, "Well, you know what, today I'm just not feeling it"? Will he do that? God will not renege on what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Can you see how God has bound his own free will for us? We think that, you know, why is all this being put on us? Why is it you gave me this free will and now I've got to what? I've got to give it back? I've got to give it over? Yes. Yes. It's part of the freely receive, freely give deal. God has bound himself, Almighty God has bound himself on our behalf for our benefit because of his great love for us. There are things that doesn't matter what he decides he wants to do. He has some rules that he's put in place that he's going to follow perfectly, even though we can only follow imperfectly. That's part of the mystery for me, is how can a perfect God just continue to deal with imperfect? Well, it's because we're his creation. And we are called to lay down our will for his. Luke 9:23, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We must deny ourselves. We must finally get in sync with the design of it all. Our will linked with his will. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Boy, maybe that's our cross, is to serve one another. I think I'd rather have the cross, my cross, than his cross. You know, when we hear pick up our cross and follow him, it's you get that cringe, almost like, you know, when you start talking about tithing and other things, is a little bit of a thing in your soul that says, I don't want to talk about this. But we have to make that same choice every minute of every day, to pick up our cross, follow him, denying self, considering everyone else is more important than ourselves. Not just the ones that we get along with, but the ones that we don't get along with. You think about what Jesus did. He laid down his will for a group of people that just rejected him, did not acknowledge him, beat him. So, you know, I love the extremes. I've said it before. The Bible, you know, gives us the extremes so that no matter what we find ourselves in, it's never going to be higher than what's already been accomplished. I mean, we may just have to love somebody that, you know, we found out spoke against us in a group the other day. Big deal. Big deal. Pray for your enemies. Isn't that what the Bible says? Bless them. Vengeance is whose? Vengeance belongs to the Lord, doesn't belong to us. Our call is to love. If we trust God, then we can love. Fully assured that whatever recompense anybody needs, maybe we deserved it and we don't even admit that we deserved it or acknowledge that we deserved it. Or maybe there is something going on, but he's going to take care of it either way. When you do it his way, he will do it his way. When we do it his way, he will do it his way. His way will be freed up in our life to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. God gives us the ability to walk in his will through the Holy Spirit, through his word. And both parties of the covenant are supposed to give up their rights. But doesn't it seem like God's holding the lion's share of the whole thing by himself? We just keep going to God. We just keep looking to God. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, thank you for your patience. Oh, God, thank you that mercies are new every day. And we just stay in that place instead of, you know, how about I try to not need as much mercy tomorrow? It's there. But how about we need less of it? How about he needs less patience with us? You know, we heard in OSL, if anybody's going through OSL, and my wife has been kind of stuck on this for some weeks, that God's love language is obedience. Do you ever go through one of those couples things where you try to figure out what your love language is? Well, sometimes, you know, like my love language is, you know, I love to be served. Which is great because I have a wife who loves to serve. So he really put us two together perfectly like puzzle pieces. But yeah, I'll admit it, I love to be served. I'm willing to serve, but I prefer to be served. Thank you, honey. You know, I've prayed so many times, God, take my will. This is not working for me. It's in the way. It's always stopping me from doing what I know I need to do. Take my will. And his answer is always the same. That's not how this works. Give me your will. I have to lay my will down in order to be obedient. It has to be my choice. I have to decide to do it, and then I have to take the steps to do it. You know, deciding to do it is only step one, then there's the doing it. I know that I know a lot of people that talk a good game. When you talk to them, they are all about serving God. But then when you ask them to go out and witness, oh, well, I got this going on, I got that going on. It's not enough to say it. In fact, we should be saying it less and doing it more. He's not going to force his will on us. We just have to come to that revelation that if his will is going to be done in our lives, it's not going to be by our praying, God, thy will be done. Thy will be done, God. Well, he's saying, yeah, that would be nice. The fruits and the gifts of the Spirit are connected to the will. If we employ our will to his promises is that he will draw closer to us, right? If we draw closer to him, how do we draw closer to him? Part of that way is that we begin to get aligned with his will. He will draw closer to us and give us the strength that we need to continue in his will. You know, at some point it's like just letting go of the rope we're hanging from. Just let go. You know, I know it looks like it's a mile down, but we have to trust him. And if we trust him, then we just let go of the rope. We're still hanging on to the flesh. We're still hanging on to our comfort. And we got to find comfort in doing his will. And we can do that. We can come to that place. But if we're not in the Word and if we're not spending time with him, it's not going to happen. We need him. We need his Word. We need to be doers of the Word. That's what the Bible tells us, right? So we can spend our whole life praying, your will be done, but if we don't take one step, it's just not going to happen in our life. It's going to take a step, that step of what? Faith. Faith. You can't separate faith from the equation. Faith has to be what allows us or enables us to let go of the rope. You know, I've said, Lord, don't let me make a mistake. Because once you open that door and say, your will be done, you know, you got to be careful because the enemy will start speaking to you as well. And the enemy will want to cause you to do things that will turn out badly and frustrate you and block you and say, well, I'm not doing that again. I'm not stepping out and doing that again. So my prayer is, Lord, I want to do your will and I'm going to take a step. Just don't let me step in anything. And he won't, and he doesn't, and he didn't, and he never will. We're going to make mistakes, but God's going to be right there with us if our mistakes are with the right motivation. If the motivation is to do his will and to glorify him, he will be right there to keep you from dashing your foot against a stone or stepping in it. He'll be right there. And he'll speak to you. And as you begin to do more of his will, you'll begin to hear more of his voice. You know, he's like a father. If he keeps telling the same things to the kids and they don't listen, they keep doing their own thing. At some point, he just, okay, I'm here if you need me. And he will do that because he doesn't force his will on us. So he does back off. The alignment between Jesus, Holy Spirit, and God, it's not close. It's perfect. All the time, every minute. And growing up in Christ means becoming more aligned with his will. Growing up in Christ should look like we're more in line, should feel like we're more in line. You know, I love when he sends me on a journey for months because I know that every minute of every day of those 8 months, I'm in his will. And he's done that. He's given me assignments that have taken months. And I can just feel his hand walking me through every minute of every day of those 8 months. And then when the assignment's over, I'm like, oh, I want that again. And he will have another assignment for you. But if you don't start to take on the assignments will not be there. You'll just have to keep going back. A lot of times I'll pray, Lord, what have you asked me to do that I haven't done? And boom, all of a sudden, just right back to my memory, what he spoke a year ago, months ago. And then I know exactly what I need to do to go back and get on the right path. 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. Again, growing up in Christ means being more in line with his will, more in communion with him, more in the word, more in prayer. That's a good sign of, am I growing or not? Am I more in the word than I was 6 months ago? Am I spending more time with him than I did 6 months ago? Because, you know, all of the stuff that we're talking about, being aligned with his will, it all starts back at being in relationship. And some people still have it backwards, that if I can do things that seem to be the will of God, I can work myself into a relationship with God. And that's not the way it works. It's out of the relationship flows his will. So the relationship really has to continue to be the main thing. And that's why the word is important. That's why spending that quality time, talking, you know, bearing your soul, being honest with God. I've had, you know, those times in my prayer closet where I said things that were even hard for me to even speak out in words. But I knew that those things had to come out. My father wanted to hear those things that were in me so that they could be exposed to the light and he could then do something about it. But as long as I kept him in the dark, I was keeping him away from being able to do something about it. And so words, uncomfortable words coming out of my own mouth, things I would never even want to hear myself ever say, and I felt the love of God the whole time I was doing it. So no matter what's going on, no matter what filthy, rotten, nasty, disgusting thoughts the enemy is trying to put in your head, don't take ownership of those thoughts. Speak them out. Get into your prayer closet and say, Lord, did you hear what the enemy just spoke to me? This is what he's saying to me. And Father just cleans it all up, does the healing that needs to happen, props us up again. So don't be afraid to get into your prayer closet and speak some uncomfortable things. Amen? So I'm going to start to close. You know, when you make a promise to someone, okay, somebody's moving on Saturday, hey, can you help me move? Yes, I will help you move. You have given your will over to that person for that 8 to 12 on Saturday, right? But how many people today just get up and decide, well, you know what, it's too nice out, I'm just not going to show up. It's really become a pattern. You know, we see it at work, we see it with people coming into work, they just, nice day, well, we know we're going to have about 25% of our people are just not going to be in today. They're all going to have a million different excuses, but we know what the one excuse is, it's just too nice to come in. We have become so weak in our flesh, in our spirit. Let me back up, not in our flesh, but in our spirit. We have become so weak. You know, whenever your needs are met over and over and over and over, you just get so used to having your needs met that anything short of that is just going to be, oh, God, where are you? Weakness. You know, the Bible says to exercise self-control. Exercising it, it has to be exercised. You know, we have to deprive ourselves once in a while. You know, I talked about serving, and my wife is a wonderful servant, but there were times when instead of asking her to get me something because she's already in the kitchen and I know she loves to do it, I will just get up and get it myself. Small example. Because I'm trying to just keep in mind, hey, you know, I can do things for myself here once in a while. You know, when I was an alcoholic, I used to try to set a goal for myself to stop drinking for 3 months. If I could stop drinking for 3 months, then I didn't have the label of alcoholic. And I always did it. I always did it. 3 months, no problem. But on that first day after the 3 months, I was back to drinking twice what I was drinking before. So when you make a promise to someone, even if it's just to be there, to help them move, do you know it's the will of God that you show up? He's a man of his word, isn't he? And we're supposed to be a man of our word. And if we can practice in those little things being a man of our word, then maybe we'll get to the point where we can be a man of our word in some of the bigger things. And I know everybody doesn't struggle with this. But if you do, you know, it's an indicator. We need to exercise self-control. That's, for me, when we call for a tithe, you know, that's a great time to exercise some self-control. And I do it, at different times throughout the year just for that very reason. Like Paul buffeting his body, beating it into submission. You know, it's kind of just practicing being deprived, practicing being without, practicing, you know, being in that place where it's not about you, so that someday it can be more about him. People just don't like to commit anymore, you know? You see sign-up sheets. Nobody wants to sign them because, well, maybe it'll be a nice day that day. Maybe, you know, somebody will call me and say, hey, you want to go fishing that day? Maybe somebody will call me and say, hey, you want to go see a movie? We don't like to commit. We've become so weak that we don't even like to commit. Never mind commit and then not show. We won't even make the commitment anymore. And again, I know this is not everybody, but it is some of us. I don't know who, but it is some of us, and to some degree. God has made his promises to us, and he will fulfill them perfectly every single time. So, how do we conform our will to his will? Again, we have to be in the Word. Would you agree that being in the Word is one of the ways that we have to commit to in order to walk more in his will? What about praying? Do you think praying is another thing that we have to do? Praying his word and exercising self-control. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. How do we renew our mind? With the Word. With prayer. You know, we can get to the point where our will is so surrendered to His will that it won't even be a conflict to do His will. That's the goal, that His will is just operating in us without any discussion whatsoever. It just is our mode of operating. And we can come to that point. Jesus was the example. Not to say, I can do it, but you can't. No, we can do it too. Because he was fully man. That's the wonderful part about it, right? He was fully man so that we could connect. We can do this. We can be submitted to his will. We can be doing the will of the Father. I'll tell you what, life will be a lot more fulfilled and joyful and peaceful and fruitful than anything we can have without it. Our comfort. You know, what did Paul say? The things I used to count as gain, I now count as loss. You know, the thing that we have to watch out for is that awakening that will come, where the enemy's going to want to come in and say, see, if you started this sooner, you could have accomplished a lot more. Well, no, that's the enemy. It's not about that. It's about, hey, let's start today. Let's start working on it today. He doesn't have a rearview mirror, and we have to throw ours away. We've heard that before. And free will does not have to be a bad thing. It doesn't have to have that negative connotation. It's a wonderful thing. It's a blessed thing. It's one of the things that allows us to be able to enjoy the world that He's created and the people that He's put around us. So we really wouldn't want to be without self-will. Then we would be a robot. Then we would be programmed. Then there would be no joy, no peace, no nothing. Just a zero or a one. And there is repercussions, right, to free will. There's repercussions. There's repercussions if we're satisfying the dictates of the flesh, but there's also repercussions if we're satisfying the dictates of the spirit. It's a pretty serious issue for us to live up to our end of the covenant that He made with us. Thank God He is not like us. Thank God He loves us as much as He does, that His love is unconditional. So if it's okay with you guys, let's just pray. Just want to pray to close. Father, we just acknowledge You once again, Your goodness, Your faithfulness, Your patience, Your love. Lord, instead of complaining about how You created us, we're going to embrace how You created us. And we're going to turn the negative into a positive. We're not even going to ask, Lord, come and cause me to be about Your will. We're just going to take the steps to do it. We've got the information. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got everything we need, Lord, and we thank You for that. We have no excuses left anymore. So, Father, I pray for each one here that their ears would be unstopped, that they would begin even today, Lord, to hear Your voice more clearly. Speak Your will, Lord. Speak Your will clearly. Help us to hear it. You know, we can ask Jesus when He was in the garden, it was an angel that came and strengthened Him, right? When He was praying, Lord, even if You'd be willing to take this cup, an angel came and strengthened Him. So, Father, we're asking right now for those angels to come and strengthen us as we choose to be about Your work from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we do have, Mandy's downstairs now. She's been down there cutting up fresh potatoes, making some baked potato soup. She bought a big ham and ground it up. She's got ham salad sandwiches down there. So please come on down and have some fellowship. That's what it's all about.